Very good, and welcome to the Fred Report Technical Market Call for August 8th, 2019. We've got a few things that we really want to get into, so we'll get right into it. First of all, the stock market is acting about as we thought it would act, and we've tested down into the 280 area where I thought we could test down into. It's been quick and dramatic. We could see further lower lows to 277, but we don't think we'll see much more without a significant bounce that lasts for more than a day, i.e. we're having the bounce today, but it should last a few days longer. The one thing we do want to really mention is that we do not see any chance of a really big, nasty correction when you get the kind of breadth signals that we've gotten on the upside. And by that I mean, like, we put in the alert, and I went back and I looked at the start of every major bear market that you can see and ran my breadth indicator through it just for curiosity's sake. There has never been a bear market that started after a breadth surge like we just had on the weekly Fred's Price Oscillator. The other thing that is really key, we're monitoring the new highs, new lows levels very carefully. New lows did expand a little bit prior to this correction, but so did new highs. And that would be the first time we've had a significant correction since Trump has been president without that indicator going negative or looking much worse in advance of the correction. So we're looking at this much more as an overbought reaction, sort of a sell on the news sort of deal. And a lot of the stuff around this that we're seeing, like the move up in bonds and gold, is really just noise. And with that, you know, the other thing we're looking at here and talking to people about is small cap is starting to trade a little bit better. So we would be focusing some attention on there as well. What we're going to cover this weekend in the weekly report is this action a camouflage to see more movement towards value and away from growth? Don't know if that's happening. Obviously, we'll look at the indexes this weekend, but sometimes the market changes a little bit during these corrections. The last thing I'll mention is sentiment. We saw in the monthly review that the put call numbers that I keep are fairly neutral, and the percent bears on investors intelligence is still negative. But one of our clients, older Merrill Lynch gentleman, who's very, very sharp technically, has mentioned that we are seeing very high intraday put call numbers such that he doesn't think the decline can continue in his experience. And again, the sentiment seems to be reading the newspapers and seeing articles on MarketWatch and such that now that the trade war has accelerated, we're doomed. We're just doomed. And I don't see that in the technical picture of the market at all. Let's talk about TLT in the bond market a little bit. Talked to a couple of you guys yesterday. I spent considerable time and effort yesterday trying to short bonds on that big up open. I can tell you they are not giving positions in TBF easily. I waited for 2 hours and on a very small relative order, 300, 400 units, I got 9 fills. The order just wouldn't fill. So I think when you look at that, we could see the TLT back in the low 130s fairly quickly. That would be normal for us, and we'll have to see how this all goes. But I don't see negative rates on the horizon, and I still think the economy is basically stronger than anyone thinks. We're still sellers of bonds in here on the way up. And certainly, if TLT manages to go below 130, which is now fairly strong support, that would be a very bad sign for these bonds. Gold is more interesting. We wrote about that a week or so ago. The problem we've had with GLD and the difficulty is the chart looked really, really good prior to this advance. And the accumulation models are not saying that gold should sustain these prices. So the question now is, we've got gold up here. It's fulfilled some of the measuring implications that we've had on GLD because of that really good chart. And the accumulation models, I'll run them this weekend, but unless there's been a material improvement, what it's saying is that when gold starts to slip, the slip could be precipitous and quick. So for those of you who are trading gold, who are in it, be very, very quick to sell if it starts to weaken. Definitely use some stop losses. If it fills this gap and goes much below the gap on GLD, we would consider selling our whole position. There's no denying that the chart is still appealing. When we look at the monthly chart on GLD, it's a very nice base, and it's starting to come out. But we have satisfied the measuring implication for the upside on GLD on the weekly chart. That's completely satisfied here or within a couple of dollars. So we would want to be just a little bit more careful there if that starts to slip. On emerging markets, we note that EEM has come down. It has still held the 40 area more or less. It still looks like a basing pattern. And for those of you who are looking at EAFE, we still think that EEM looks better than EFA in a lot of respects, particularly in our accumulation models. And the real question for us here is the dollar broke out and pulled back. If this dollar turns up again and makes higher highs, we still are not big on any of the international stuff relative to the American stuff, at least so far. But if you have to be in it, we'd prefer to be in EEM. We note that EWL Switzerland, which we've been talking about and recommending, is still outperforming most of the European and developed market stuff. Let's take a quick look. One I forgot about, IDLV, which is low volatility developed, that's trading pretty well as also. That might be a reasonable area to go into if you have to have international positions. Again, if you don't have to have them, we don't think that we would have them at this point. With that, I'm going to ask for comments from Jeff Garbaz. Jeff, do you have any questions or comments for us? Hello, Jeff. Hey,
Hey,
Jeff.
sorry, my unmute thing wasn't working.
Oh, that's okay. No, I got a call and a text from one of our clients, and I'm sitting there thinking, geez, I sure hope I'm on the call. But I looked at my email, and Jack didn't say, Fred, it's screwing up. So anyway, Jeff, glad to
No,
have you. How you doing?
good, good. Hey, so let's start with gold. So isn't gold almost like an identical chart to TLT? And therefore, if TLT gives it up, wouldn't you expect gold to give it up too? Because it seems like it's a defensive trade at this point.
Jeff, I would. I'm trying to separate them as far as the indicators. What's really, really interesting here, Jeff, is the accumulation model on bonds has been steadily over the past 6 months suggesting stable to higher prices on TLT. And on GLD, the accumulation model is completely different. Okay? And I take that accumulation model to be representative of smart buying. Okay? It's sort of like Lazzo Barini's money flow idea, where you're able to determine through use of an indicator whether the so-called smart money is buying and the dumb money is not. And yeah, I don't know. All I can tell is it's under accumulation and fairly big accumulation, and I would assume, since the market normally moves in the direction of the accumulation model eventually, and remember, it's not a timing tool. It's just, oh my God, is this something we want or something we don't want? You know, the fact that they're very different, those models, suggests that there's something different about them. And Jeff, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
And Jeff, let me throw one other thing out here just in general first before I forget it. Jeff, you remember Bob Robbins, my old coworker at Robinson Humphrey, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, Bob was the chief investment strategist at Robinson Humphrey and also at Thompson McKinnon. He has had a very long and illustrious career in the business. And he still manages some money for people. And he has an index that's really unique of the highest momentum stocks in the market. And Jeff, that index has not broken down. And what he said was interesting about that when I spoke to him yesterday is, normally that index goes up at 3 to 4 times the market and falls at least twice what the market falls, right? And it hasn't done that this time. It's gone up, but it hasn't really broken down. It's come down with the market, but not 2 or 3 times the market. So that's just, again, one of those interesting things. Jeff, I'll go back to your discussion on gold, but I wanted to be sure I'd mention that.
Yeah. No, Fred, actually, I agree with you. When you look at the various Dorsey momentum sector ETFs or even the Dorsey just momentum ETFs, I mean, look at DWAQ as an example.
Yeah.
That's kind of had a decline equal to the market. It hasn't, exacerbated the downside of what the NASDAQ has done.
Yeah. It's real interesting. And Jeff, again, you're a much better interpreter of news and such than I am. I rely on you for that, as well as other things. But it seems to me that the news right now is much more negative, and everyone's also talking about how the market has to go down in August, September, October, because it always does.
Yeah, the thing to kind of watch here, Fred, related to that is year-to-date returns, because that's what fell apart last year as we came into September and caused the late September and then the October weakness because of the mutual funds selling for tax purposes.
Right.
And then we got that same whammy in December when people did the same thing because the year-to-date was really struggling. You know, that came down last week. It was like at 71 and it went to 65. I'm going to be interested to see where it went after this week is over. You know what's interesting, though, about yesterday? Even though we had, like, the biggest reversal, blah, 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 the S&P was up 2 points, the advanced decline lines were not positive on either New York or NASDAQ. So here's the question for you. What if we give up this whole gain today and finish down, and then again have negative volume? Would that be a concern that like, uh-oh, maybe I'm not correct, and we're going to go to, you know, the 277 number or even a lower number before this ends? So if we don't finish up strong today, what would that mean to you?
Jeff, I hate to say it, but I'm actually kind of expecting that and down into Friday. I think that would actually be a little bit more positive than a rally that goes higher and fails. One of the concerns that I do – sorry, go ahead, Jeff.
Go ahead.
Concerns that I do have here is the daily stochastic on the spider has come down nicely. The weekly has just started to come down. Now, the question is, since we have a daily stochastic buy – and the weekly stochastic sell, can we consolidate and go sideways for a period of time, sideways and maybe slightly down, and get that weekly stochastic to come in a little bit? That would be normal, and that would be expected. Probably, Jeff, for me, as a technician, the worst thing would be to have the spider or the S&P go right back up and make a new high that's not confirmed by anything and start to sell off.
Yeah, so what's your thinking on going over to talk about something that's worked in the down period is DWSH. And then it's kind of given it up a little bit today. Nothing huge. It's kind of tracking the market. And it outperformed the market, but it didn't do like a two times the market, which it's done in some of these other periods. Like in the May decline, it did almost like a 2.5 times the market. So does that look like it's kind of run out of steam here to you?
It does, Jeff. If I were in that, I would be taking my profits. And again, I know most of our clients can't use it, but for those that can, I'd be taking some of the profits off here. We've certainly gotten to where we should have gotten on that. The question is, can we go any more? And Jeff, to your point about the negative advanced decline line, we saw in that weekly chart of the Fred's breath oscillator that I published, it had a big move up, but there is a little bit of a cloud in that it's also overbought, and because of that, we should see some negative breaths from here on in for the next week or two, and it sounds like we're on track this week to do that, which is good. The question is whether we get a lot of price give up on that or not, and right now, we're not getting a huge amount of price give up on a weekly basis. We're doing about what we forecast we would do. And again, bear in mind when I made the forecast that the market would peak in the 302 area back in December, I thought that things were going to look a lot worse than they look now in terms of the technical indicators. They just don't. And so that's sort of why we're looking at some more sideways to get some of the overbought weekly indicators down, but not a big wipeout here.
Okay, so last thing I want to ask about is the dollar. So we had the Fed act last Wednesday, and then it went even higher into the end of the week. Then it kind of gave back a little bit on last Friday, and then it struggled a little bit this week, but then it's kind of recovered in the last day or two. And yesterday we had India cut rates by 35 basis points, New Zealand cut by 50 basis points, and then Thailand cut by 25, which was kind of unexpected. And then that, in turn, is what really caused the yields to go down to 1.61. So if we're now in a scenario where the Fed is cutting, isn't every time the Fed cut going to be met by these individual currencies probably having to do the same thing and weaken as well, which in turn is going to make the dollar continue to remain strong? It seems like there's no way that the dollar for now is going to have any type of appreciable pullback, because we're like the only good neighborhood, that exists, in the town right now, because everyone
right.
else is struggling from an economic standpoint. So isn't it almost, from your viewpoint, technically, does it look like the dollar is just not going to correct?
I don't think the dollar is going to correct very much. And the interesting thing, Jeff, and this is something I meant to write about, it's very hard to write about, so I'm going to just talk about it here. If you look at the European currencies, if you look at the move up in the euro as the dollar came down, and then compare that to the move up in FXF, in other words, look at the daily chart of FXF, which is the Swiss franc, versus the euro, what you're starting to see is outperformance on the part of the Swiss franc. And what's interesting about that, and we haven't had this sort of movement really since the euro crisis, which I think was what, Jeff, 2012? In other words, a good long time ago, long enough for people to forget or new subscribers to not realize this. When the European banks and the euro get in trouble, the very first thing that most European investors do is flee to Switzerland and flee to the Swiss franc. And I think you're starting to see that kind of action now, which doesn't augur well for Europe. In fact, Europe may augur in. I love that pun on the word augur, by the way. But, you're seeing signs that people are moving out of Europe during this time and getting ready to go into Switzerland. If you look at EWL versus EWG, You see that as well in the charts. And the currency flows would suggest that as well. So the other, and Jeff, and again, I freely admit, and everyone on the call probably realizes that one of the more frustrating things about what I do is, in all of our discussion about European problems and Deutsche Bank, we look for a series of events to occur. And all of those events pretty much have occurred, except the fact that Deutsche Bank is not selling off and turning into a disaster, right? But the fundamental stuff we talked about is showing up. So it may be that that shows up later. And that's what this currency movement and strength in Switzerland means, or it may be that we see nothing, which is what we've seen so far. But I would be keeping my eye on that.
So here's my last question for you, then I'll let move it back over to questions from people. So
yeah.
We had a really bad day on Monday. We lost 2.98%. And then on Tuesday, we gained 1.3, and effectively yesterday, you know, at one point overnight, we were down like a really big amount. We were down like 50 points, and then we kind of came back. This type of volatility, it only basically occurs in a struggling market. And if that's the case, I mean, first of all, do you buy into that argument that like this type of volatility, big down moves, big up moves, we really only see that occurring when we're in a corrective period or in a bear market. Do you kind of agree with that or not?
Well, I agree with that in that we do see it mostly when we're in a corrective period. We can have this kind of volatility and not have a bear market. The other thing that, and again, this is something that people can go and look at themselves. When you see the big up and down swings, and not just the big down swings, but the big up and down swings, that's very often indicative of the end of a down move, not the beginning of one, right? What you see in a bear market, Jeff, and this is where it gets confusing, and I think we almost wrote something about this at one time. Some of the biggest up days on records have been in downtrends, and they're all given up, okay? But to have the daily changes in direction generally are indicative more of getting closer to the end of a down move than at the very beginning of one.
Okay.
You know, if we're up 400 today and down 400 tomorrow and up 400 on Monday, we're probably getting through with this now. You know, and Jeff, the other question that, of course, I very cleverly tried to avoid answering and that I think is a big question is, are we going to go back up and make new highs in the next couple of months, or are we going to sort of screw around, go a little lower, go up and down, and get the weekly stochastics to come down a little bit? I can tell you that the second alternative is what I would like to see the most, and there's some good investment opportunities if you watch while that's happening that people can sort of pick away at, but we don't really know. And Jeff, you're right. With that, let's go to questions from callers, people on the call. Remember to hit *6 to unmute yourself with questions. Please ask.
Fred, how about Fluor Corporation, symbol FLR?
FLR. Hey, Dean, how are you, by the way? It was really good,
Fred,
seeing you in Greenville. Ouch, that really,
likewise.
That really came down an awful lot lately. Dean, that, I hate to say it, Dean, I hope you don't have a lot of that. I would avoid this if you don't own it.
Own zero.
Then stay away. And the reason I say that is there's every indication that this can go lower. This may turn into a good tax loss idea, tax loss bounce idea, Dean. But the problem is this is the wrong time of year to try to pick something like this off cheap. You want to try to see where this is a few months from now. I realize October is a lot closer than it seems, but I would be watching this and looking for something down into, you know, into October.
Okay. Yeah, their CEO, a friend, abruptly left. I see no malfeasance that's come out. Just bottom fishing. Thank you.
Yeah, and Dean, again, if you think this company's a really good value and you know it, if you buy some here and just plan on buying more in October if it's lower, it might not be
Yeah.
lower if there's really nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Thank you, Fred.
Got it, man. Other questions?
Hey, Fred, can you look at Teradyne, TER?
TER, yes. Let's have a look. And again, I'm looking at intermediate chart on this. That's a fine looking chart. It's a little overbought, but it's holding right where it should hold. I would be comfortable buying this here.
Can you look at Roku today, ROKU? Is this something you would buy on this breakout today?
Yeah, anything that's breaking out at this time is probably going to keep going for a while. And I'm looking at the monthly chart. It's not overextended. The daily charts may be a little overextended, but the long term is not. And it is a daily buy signal. So I think, as long as you're willing to buy some more of it in that gap, if that gap fills, yeah. But this may be what's called a breakaway gap, and a lot of those don't fill.
One more, Fred, if you don't mind. Tandem, TNDM. I know I'm supposed to only ask for two, but TNDM, Tandem.
No, that's fine. That is very neutral. I've never looked at this before. I'd say if you own it, give it a little time for the weekly stochastic to maybe come down a little more. And if you don't own it and you want to buy it, feel free, but you may see it at 54 as the 57 rather, as the weekly stochastic comes in a little bit.
Great. Thank you, man.
Got it. Have a good day.
You too.
Other questions? Other questions?
Fred, good morning. It's Paul.
Paul, how are you?
Fantastic, sir. Enjoying the
Good.
summer. Thank you.
Yes.
You talk about potentially seeing a lower low to the 277 area. But it does seem to me as though you are saying that, as best you can see now, that was the flush that we may see, maybe a little bit more. Any roadmap looking into the end of the year?
Well, Paul, that again, what I would love to see is, some sideways and a little bit lower for the next few weeks, and then I think we've got a year-end rally coming that could be pretty decent. Or alternatively, we start a year-end rally, a rally at least into the end of summer, September, October, right away. It's just, and I may be hanging, we always have to be careful not to rely too much on just one indicator, Paul. You and I know that. We've learned that the hard way, both together and before we knew each other. But with the breadth indicators acting the way they're acting, especially my long-term breadth indicator, it's very difficult to see this thing going down a lot more. You just don't see it normally.
Thank you.
So you want to be, Paul, we were talking the last time we saw each other about looking for a decline to, pick up some attractive stuff. I'd be, looking to do that. And, there's some stocks that are trading really, really well. I'll give you an example. I'm not telling people to buy this stock because it's already come up from $30 to $34. But I was watching Apollo on the big down day. And that stock was down almost 10% and reversed to close down 10 cents, and it's got a 6.5% yield. There's stocks doing that. That just happened to be one that I was watching. If you see that and there's stocks on your list that meet your criteria, you have to buy them.
Thanks, Fred.
Sure. Other questions?
How does VEEV look to you, Fred? VE, two
I
V's and a
believe it.
V.
I'm sorry.
I know you were going to say something silly.
Yeah. BEE, what's the symbol? BEEV?
No, it's Victory, Edward, Edward, Victory.
Victory, Edward, Edward, Victory. I just found a symbol I'm going to have to look at afterwards, after we look at this. Michael, that's got a decent daily stochastic buy on it. It's still an uptrend. Your weekly chart is a little bit overextended, but you would expect that given the kind of move it's had. I don't have any problem with beef.
And if you take a profit in gold, GLD, or any of the mining stocks, you're talking about, in a lot of cases, a 20% capital gain. Is the downside 20%?
You know, Michael, a lot of people bought these for hedges. Right. So they would sell them and take, you know, obviously take the profit and pay the tax. If you want to be an investor in gold and you're willing to have GLD come back into the 128 area to 130 area, it's definitely holdable. And I do think, and I wasn't clear on this, and you're correcting me, and that's a good thing. The gold stocks, GDX and GDXJ, as we wrote about, those look better. We wouldn't be selling those necessarily. It's just the metal.
Okay. Thanks for that, Fred.
Sure. No, and that was a great question. And the symbol I was going to try to look up, Bricktown Restaurant Group, I'm not getting a chart on it, but the symbol is beer. And I just, what a great symbol, but I'm not getting a good chart on it. Other questions? Here's someone trying to come in. Other questions? Very well. We can go once. We can go twice.
Hey, Fred, I got a couple tech ones for you.
Jeff, yeah, let's ask a couple more and then we boogie. Jeff.
TWLO.
Jeff, the weekly chart on that is on a sell signal and on support. I wouldn't be surprised to see it come down a little bit more, say to 119 to 120, but it's basically a good chart, and if it did that, it would still be a good chart.
CYBR?
CYBR. I think this one was in the chart book. You know, trading basis, Jeff. That one also has got a bad weekly stochastic. Let me take a quick look at the daily. Jeff, this is a real interesting situation because it's starting to form an inside day, which means if this just stops here, if the day closes today, then you want to sell this short below the low of yesterday or buy it above the high of yesterday. It's right on the edge, and it is on support.
Okay.
Should hold.
HUBS. HubSpot.
Wacky looking chart on the daily, but it's up nicely and it's starting to try to be a short term breakout. Jeff, I'd buy this. This looks pretty strong.
Okay. And then the last one is IBM.
God, I haven't looked at IBM in forever. And it's hanging in there, but you've got a little bit of a weekly stochastic sell. This may go sideways for a bit. If you want to buy it, I'd wait until the daily stochastic recycles. It's very close.
What if it broke like 137 and a half? Wouldn't that be bad for that stock?
That would be bad for that stock. It would take it to 132 to 130. That's why I want to wait until the daily stochastic turns up.
So this actually brings up a kind of interesting question, a good way to end it. So yesterday we obviously had like the weakness, then we recovered by the end of the day. Should yesterday's kind of lows on a stock like IBM, let's say you were staying in it or you were thinking about buying it down here, even though, like, we're not saying it, but I'm just using it as an example. But let's say it broke yesterday's low. Would that be, like, a concern to you on a lot of stocks if they break back through yesterday's low?
Yes and no, Jeff. One of the ways these markets bottom is by making a lower low that's not confirmed by momentum, and that would be sort of a situation that would do that. So if you start to see those non-confirmations, that might be a very close to more of a bottoming sign. But, yeah, in general, you'd want to see these hold up pretty well, at least for a couple of days, and maybe early next week sort of fade down a little bit.
Hey, okay. Fred, Nancy, one quick question.
Sure, Nancy.
Can you look at KL?
Yeah. Let's have a look at KL. That is still, that's one you asked about before. You've done well with that. That's still a really strong-looking gold stock that I would definitely keep.
Okay. Would you, at what point would you, you know, if it pulls back a little bit, add some more?
If you could get this back down to 44, 45, I would do it. And frankly, Nancy, if you really like it and you've got people that aren't in it, I'd just go ahead and buy it now.
Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah. I think the whole trick in general is to start legging into attractive stuff here, but I wouldn't be taking my full position on anything. I mean, like, let's say the worst happens and you buy KL and it just goes up and you don't have enough of it. You know, that's a better alternative than buying it and having it go to 40, right? So, you know, I mean, I would be sort of legging in. You can always buy stuff on the way up if the market looks like it's really going to go here. Other questions? Very well, going once, going twice. This will end the Fred Report technical market call for August 8th, 2019. I don't know if your kids are back in school. Ours goes back on the 12th of August, but everybody have a great weekend. And if it's your last school-free weekend, enjoy the beautiful weather. Thank you.